Yeah, like I said, because the mic may not be high enough, like ideally. So just kind of put it to where you're comfortable, where it can still catch you good.
Yeah.
But it looks like we're both getting picked up here, my brother.
Yes.
Let's see what we got. I'm not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show. Officially in the building, baby. Welcome everyone to the Mookie Mel Show, brought to you by yours truly, Mookie Mel. Have another phenomenal episode lined up for you all. Per usual, we have our first returning guest in Malcolm Mann.
Yes.
He was with us originally in episode 4, the first guest to ever join the Mookie Mel Show in representation. He is now back for his second visit for season 2, episode 5. Today, we will be further discussing second chances / forgiveness. We'll break down the topic further in our three S's, per usual, in social, scholar, and sports, and how forgiveness and second chances can further relate. But let me just give you guys a little bit briefing, a little synopsis of what we'll be going through. As I said, though, forgiveness and second chances is a power which may or may not be warranted to each and every one of us, but it is a power which we ultimately do have to determine and decide whether another individual is granted or deemable a second chance. But Malcolm, go ahead and introduce yourself to the people, my brother. Go and let them know who you are.
So my name is Malcolm Mann. I'm originally from Plano, Texas. Known Miles for probably almost over 20 years now. Well, we're getting there in the next 2 years or so. Last time I was here, I was engaged. Now I am married to the beautiful Anna Mann, not Horowitz anymore, but that's the newest thing going on in my life. I'm excited to be here. The show has been amazing. I've been probably top 3 fans, if not number 1, during the ride. I listen not because he's my boy, but I listen because the content's amazing and it's relative. So I'm glad to be back.
Appreciate you coming back, my brother, for sure. But let's jump right into it, y'all, in S1 and sports and forgiveness and second chances. So, Malcolm, I'm well aware of some of your sports and accolades you've achieved within basketball and your college career and whatnot, but kind of fill the people in and tell them some of the things you've done in terms of basketball.
So I went to a junior college in Kansas, played basketball there. I was a point guard. We won regionals for the first time in school history. And I was team captain. I went to a small private Christian institution from there, NAIA Division I. We won nationals for the first time in school history there. So it's been an amazing ride as far as my college career and basketball went. But that's kind of a brief summary of my career.
Nice. And that brother won a natty chip along the way, but, you know, who am I to tell his story? But anyways, so Malcolm, let's kind of stay along these lines in terms of your athletic career. Have you ever run into situations where you may have to grant a player or, you know, a teammate or a coach a second chance or forgiveness?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I had to realize as I matured, and I was a team captain, was that people had different personalities. So you can't talk to everyone and address everyone the same way. And so there has been teammates who were hotheads that did things that they know they shouldn't have done, got caught up, but they were the best player on the team. So how do you address that from a team captain or a coach's perspective? And so I think what I've seen is when someone is mature, when they get that forgiveness, it helps them to understand that one, that they're loved, and that there's people who can say, like, that's not you. And they have the opportunity to respond to that. Either they're going to own up to who they can become, or they're going to continue to lie and those mistakes and that type of lifestyle. So I've seen both spectrums, but I think I've seen more of, okay, this is forgiveness. Now I have to own up to who I can be on the more positive light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Especially as a responsibilities, as a team captain or as a peer, it's hard sometimes to address somebody who is your age or at times could be older and to keep them accountable. But I hear you. In terms of a premier athlete, did you ever find that forgiveness or granting others a second chance was kind of a weakness? Obviously, you know, sports are extremely competitive. And, you know, in short, you don't want to show any weakness in terms of your field of choice of sports or what your chosen craft is. Have you ever found it to be that maybe your forgiving nature kind of put you at a disadvantage?
Yeah, man. I think it's difficult because I love people and I want people to be able to do what they want to do. But at some point, whenever someone's acting out or doing things that they know have consequences, we have to ask ourselves, what are we telling them when they're doing something that should have consequences, but nothing's changing for them? And everything remains the same. So what are we communicating to that person? Because if someone's doing something that they know they shouldn't be doing and there's no consequences, that's just a horrible habit that we are ingraining, because that's not going to work whenever they go and work for a major corporation. That's not going to work when they get married. And so my thing is, I wrestle between, you know, do we love this person, keep them here, we deal with it, or do we release them for the team? Because it's not good for them to be around a community where they're not having consequences for their actions. And it doesn't have to be unforgiveness or I forgive you or you leave, because I could forgive someone and still kick him off a team, you know? And so that's difficult to talk about, is if you kick a dude off a team, he thinks that we are now unforgiving people. But it's not good for you to be around if you are not what's best for the team. And so that's difficult to talk about. And I've always wrestled with that a little bit, because you will have people that come from different places and have different backgrounds and who bring habits with them to a team or to a university that go against everything that they have lived around their whole life. And so how do you gauge what those consequences look like? And at what point do you say, okay, well, you're not what's best for us, and we aren't good for you either.
Right. I think that's a really valid point, Malcolm. There's a fine line between, you know, forgiveness and understanding consequences of your actions. And sometimes that line gets grayed because of the repercussions of your actions. You know, just because you're suffering from the consequences of a decision you decide to make doesn't mean I don't forgive you.
Right.
You know? Just because you hit somebody unintentionally doesn't mean you don't have to pay for the car insurance.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a good point, especially from someone in the position of power you are, which as a team captain or, maybe a peer leader or whomever, you have to hold people accountable. And that doesn't mean just because you hold someone accountable, you don't forgive them. And like I said, I think that's a gray line that often gets wavered or, you know, misconcepted, because oftentimes in sports, you know, if you're a great player, unfortunately, you don't get held accountable to some of your actions.
Right.
And that, you know, you and I have seen it both personally, just as former college athletes, that sometimes these best players are able to get away with actions which will not be warranted in other situations.
Right.
You know, so kind of like what you were saying in terms of a corporation or in marriage or whatever walk of life you are that has changed the avenue of which you're currently in, you know, you have to be held accountable. And many times you hear the good coaches say, you know, it's deeper than sports. This is life lessons.
Right.
So I think that's a good point. But let's make a left turn, Malcolm. And in terms of being an athlete, a premier athlete from a competitive standpoint, what did you learn from losing and some of those second chances and being able to learn from these losing experiences?
So I think, like, the context of losing that you're talking about is like the undesired result, right? At the end of the
right,
game.
Right. Like, let's say at the end of the game, you lose 48-56.
Right. The other team wins.
Right.
And so I think there's that context. But then I think the true battle of the win and the loss is, like, what do you do with the undesired end? And so, like, if I lose a game, like my choice of, am I going to go in the gym, watch a film, and find out how I can respond to that next time I play this team? They're not going to know what to do with this. Like, there's a team that we played 2 years ago. I'll say the name, Mid-American Nazarene. We played them early in the season. And, man, we went in there. We just weren't as prepared. And they beat us by, like, maybe like 20-something. Mm. And there's a guy that the point guard was dancing at the end of the game with the ball in his hand, like, just stunning out there. I was like, all right, next time we play them, we're going to smack them. And so we played them the last game before Christmas break, and we beat them by 36. And the reason was because we watched film, and we chose to say, all right, this team is not better than us. They just were prepared better than us, and we weren't ready at that time. And we have the opportunity to bounce back and do worse to them than what they did to us. And so, like, that was a victory for us. It was it's in the response that defines whether you truly lose or whether you win.
Unfortunately, you know, that's one of fortunately and unfortunately, that's one of the many life lessons we get from sports. You know, it allows us to prepare for moments we may not be prepared for and then come back to it at a later date. Unlike in life, we may have certain opportunity or obligations which we may not be prepared for. And when the time arises or we do have the opportunity and we miss, that's it. You know, there's no do-overs in life. So that's one of the many lessons that sports teaches us. And, you know, it correlates throughout life, as many great coaches say. But let's keep it rolling, Malcolm. Let's jump right into S2 and scholars and forgiveness and second chances. So, Malcolm, I'm going to digress and kind of revert back to when you were the first guest on the Mookie Mill Show. Thank you again. Episode 4 of Season 1 in representation. You did a great job. For anyone who is listening who hasn't heard that episode, check it out. As I said, Malcolm was the first guest on the Mookie Mill Show. But I kind of want to draw a line of correlation between forgiveness and representation and second chances. So, obviously, you and I were both student athletes. We went to our respective schools, had very different and, you know, common experiences as well. I personally know I have, but have you ever dealt with a professor or instructor or someone in a position of power who just point blank doesn't like athletes?
Absolutely. So at my first junior college, I had to sit out the first semester because some of my credits didn't transfer over. And I was in the science class, and I was just struggling all semester. And I think it was about 4 weeks before the ending, because I had to make sure I passed all my class before I could play the next semester. And so I went to the professor. I said, I'm struggling. Is there extra credit I can do? Can I have tutorials with you? Because there's teacher assistants. I need to talk to you about this. And he looked at me and said, you athletes don't even care about school, and all you want to do is just come to my class and just sit in. I'm like, sir, first of all, I can't even play basketball right now. I'm trying to get my grades together. And I said, and my motivation behind what I do is actually my faith. The reason why I want to do well is because of my faith. I'm taught to do everything wholeheartedly, and that's why I'm in here before you asking for help. And he told me, I don't care about your faith. And about 15 seconds after, he apologized because he realized what he said. But that was an opportunity where I had the option to either lash out and be disappointed and manifest the anger that was actually inside of me, or just keep quiet and kind of be still to allow him to ask for that forgiveness. And then what I did with that forgiveness was I took it for what it was. And it's still hard to this day to think about that. But just those things that help you to realize, like, what people are actually thinking when you're in the class. Like, is that what he thought of me every single time I went into that class? And that I'm just here just to get by because I'm an athlete. And so I'm sure somewhere along the line, he had some experience with some athletes that formed that perception, but that wasn't me.
Right. And, you know, that's why I kind of reverted to that initial statement in the first episode, which you were the guest on, because representation, and you were representing athletes. And it's funny because, you know, in that episode of representation, we kind of hit on race and how, you know, one can represent the whole. And that's more or less the same thing for an athlete.
Right.
You know, the professor in your situation may have thought all athletes merely just want to get passing grades.
Right.
But in reality, you're trying to strive for greatness in this class. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his blanketed cast of athletes and his perception was not of so. So he merely just, you know, kind of affiliated you with a blanket kind of mindset, which he assumed athletes have.
Right.
And I think, you know, well, one, that's why representation is so important. But two, I think for future students, I think you have changed his perspective in terms of how athletes are represented. Mm-hmm. And I think that was important in itself.
Yeah.
But you kind of hit it. But in the moment when you recognize that, you know, what the professor has said in terms of not caring for athletes, how did that make you feel? You know, because oftentimes people can't necessarily remember a moment, but they can remember how it made them feel.
I was confused because, I mean, I guess when you're doing something, there's an assumption that other people understand that. And I guess I wasn't being mindful that everyone doesn't think like me and everyone won't see me for who I am. And that was kind of the beginning of that where, like, you can try to be who you want to be, but people get to choose how they see you. And I didn't want to be the stereotype who he thought I was. And so I was just quiet and I was upset, but more so I was confused.
Yeah, certain instances can almost be breathtaking.
Yeah.
So I hear you. You felt like somebody punched you in the chest. Hold on, man. But no, I hear you, man. And it's funny because oftentimes people think this kind of ideology or thought process of people in a position of power, instructors or whatever, don't have these kind of blanketed thought processes. But it happens all the time. And, you know, unfortunately, reality is perception. Perception is reality. Mm-hmm. So if someone thinks that way, that's their reality.
Right.
But question in terms of that situation, were you able to forgive that professor? Or are you still working on it? Or did you not forgive them? Where does that lie with you now?
I was able to forgive him. And I think the reason why is, and I think we might talk about this, but like forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. So like he didn't get anything out of me forgiving him, but I wasn't going to allow him to hold me to a bondage to where every single time I saw him that my whole attitude just changed because he did that one thing to me. And so I had to forgive him because I wasn't going to allow myself to have to sit in his classroom for another 4 weeks. And every time I walk in there, my attitude is just in a funk because he did this. And so if I did that, now I'm affecting everyone around me. And so, yeah, I was able to forgive him. Of course, the relationship was not the same. But, I mean, I wasn't going to allow him to kind of change my attitude every time I walked into his class. And I just kind of continue what I was doing in a more quiet manner.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that's powerful in itself. But just kind of last question to piggyback off that situation. What was your first step in mentally processing to forgive this professor?
This is consistent with all forgiveness for me, but the first step to forgiveness is realizing that unforgiveness is only harming you, because there's people that did things to me years ago, and if I think about it and I get mad about it, like, they're not being affected by that. Like, they're living their life, they're doing whatever they want to do. They're not thinking about me. And so, but it's me that's in that bondage. It's me that's upset. It's me that's irritated. And so that was kind of first step. And then it's just an opportunity to be free. It's an opportunity of freedom for me. And so the first step for me is like, dang, why am I getting upset about every time I think about this dude, I'm upset. I'm like, I can't allow him to do this to me. Like, I have to truly forgive this man so I can walk into his class and be the me who I feel like I should be.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful. Well, let's keep it rolling, my brother. Let's jump into S3 and social and forgiveness and second chances. So, Malcolm, you just kind of alluded to this in S2, but oftentimes people kind of misunderstand that forgiveness may be rooted or stem with the other individual, but in reality, forgiveness stems from within. And I just kind of wanted to hit a point. What would be the first step in a forgiving yourself, I guess, or allowing yourself to forgive others? How do you first stimulate that process internally?
I think the first step in that context is trying to realize the opportunity that you have in forgiveness. So, like I alluded to this earlier, but like the irritation that can come just from saying someone's name, or like your heart drops, or your blood pressure starts to rise because someone said something about a person that did something wrong to you. But forgiveness will always affect you more than it affects the other person. And so it's realizing the opportunity of freedom that you have for yourself, because, I mean, unforgiveness, that is it's a strong bondage to hold, because at the end of the day, like I said before, it affects you more than anyone else, and it harms you more than anyone else.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think you hit the nail on the head on why forgiveness is important in terms of the freedom, the spiritual freedom, and the weight just being uplifted from your shoulders. Because internally, like you said, if you let that individual's name every time it comes up, or every time you see them,
right,
affect your mood, ultimately it's hurting yourself.
Right.
You know, and you're portraying yourself. Let's say you may meet someone for the first time and your first impression is you in this funk because you weren't able to forgive someone else.
Right.
And now that's ultimately affecting your entire network.
Yep.
You know, so at the end of the day, you not forgiving someone is portraying you in a negative light.
Right.
But let's run with that. What would you say the hardest part then is of forgiving someone else, or maybe yourself?
I think sometimes the hardest part of forgiveness is realizing that the other person is not affected by it, from a fleshly perspective. Because if someone does something to us, we want them to kind of feel that a little bit.
Right.
And so forgiveness removes any sense of vengeance. And so, like, for some reason, it's in our nature, if someone does something to us, we want them to experience some degree of that pain or of that hurt. And so I think it's hard from a human perspective to surrender to that reality that if someone does something to me, like, it's not my obligation. I don't have to, or I can't do something that will complete my peace in what they did. And so I think forgiveness is the only thing. I think that's hard for us to accept, that doing so little to them is in all instances, in my perspective, the best thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, no, and I hear you. And I think that is hard to recognize, that the flaw or the first step in the process is identifying it with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that, because, you know, it kind of relates to something the Zen master said to me not too long ago, like, you have to understand when your cup is full. Yeah. So, you know, let's say we're sitting down and we're drinking tea, and I keep pouring into your cup to the point that it's overflowing with tea, and the tea's starting to spill onto the saucer, and the saucer's now spilling onto the table, and the tea's now spilling onto the floor. Mm-hmm. You have to understand your cup is full. So you're unintentionally filling your cup when you're holding on to certain things or certain angers or certain traits or from instances and situations which have happened in the past.
Right.
So, you know, you can view the cup as your heart.
Yeah.
And your heart is becoming fuller and fuller due to the fact that you're holding on to something. Mm-hmm. And that can be relayed in so many different situations and instances. You know, for example, we were just saying on a first impression, your cup is already full from the anger you have from merely hearing this individual's name, that you're spilling onto the table your new interaction. And I think, man, you could get me going on this one.
Right, I was saying, and then if something is full, you're losing the opportunity for that something to be filled up. So if you, like, that spot of unforgiveness in your heart is, that's actually reserved for something else that's good. That's supposed to be used for good. And so you miss out on that just because it's empty, and it can't be used in a positive light. Like, mm-hmm. It just can't. So that's good.
You didn't even lie. You could have had a lemon in your tea cup, but all you got is tea.
That's it.
You know? But look, man, my final question for you is, what is the most gratifying point or perspective or personal experience for you in forgiveness?
The freedom piece. Like I am free. Like, I can choose forgiveness. No one can choose to forgive for you. And that's in short, like, just the freedom piece. Like, I'm free to not allow this person to make me angry every time I hear their name, every time I see this person. And so the most gratifying part is definitely just the freedom piece of mind and having peace in the midst of that.
Nice. I dig it. Well, again, Malcolm, thank you for being the first guest again yeah. to make a return on the show. You know, very few have been selected. Only one has been asked to come back twice, so you're a special individual. But Jigga Man.
Hello.
JJ.
You're...
Go on, hit the people with the facts, man.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, everybody? That was a great episode. What a great topic. You know, second chances. It's kind of niche. It's kind of... you don't really think about it every day, but it's definitely a topic that's worth talking about because whether you're on the receiving end of a second chance or giving somebody a second chance, a lot of thought goes into that. So great episode, gentlemen. Miles, you couldn't have chosen a better candidate than Malcolm. So, you know, I love that. our first repeat guest and, you know, it couldn't have gone better. So I can't be happier right now. The gear challenge will be ending soon. We've received very little submissions, so if you are thinking about submitting, don't hesitate, just do it, because it'll be ending in about 2 to 3 weeks, and we definitely want to give away some gear, so if you're interested, you know, just do it, just for the fun of it. Beyond that, I don't have much, just have a safe weekend, and have fun. Next week's episode will be a solo Miles episode, so be on the lookout for that. Beyond that, nothing more. Have a great weekend. Peace out. Mookie Mel Show, out.